Welcome to worship from Daleville Christian Church and blessings to America on America's birthday, the 4th of July. As a Christian, I give thanks for the freedoms the United States gives me as a faithful person. We always have an affirmation of our faith this week from Titus, the second chapter, the letter of Titus, letter to Titus, chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew's Gospel, the last chapter, chapter 28, beginning in verse 16 to the end of the chapter in verse 20. Here, Jesus is speaking his last earthly words, as recorded by Matthew, his words to the disciples. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I bring you greetings this morning from North Carolina, the British colony in 1775 that was the first of the 13 colonies in what would later become the United States to instruct its delegation to vote for independence from Great Britain. In North Carolina, I stood on the ground where in 1775 patriots stopped a British Tory army. I also saw in North Carolina where Daleville young man Jake Rader in 1865, who had joined the Union Army of the American Civil War at age 17, marched through the pine trees in North Carolina to shut down the last supply port of the Confederate government. Young Jake Rader of Daleville would have seen United States colored troops marching just ahead of him. These U.S. colored troops, that was their official name, these African American troops were in the front line. Many of them had been former slaves in Virginia and North Carolina. Those same African-American United States troops had to fight the Confederate Army rear guard that day. Like Jake Rader of Daleville, I saw where those brave African-Americans fell in that fight. Two of those African-American soldiers were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. But all the African-American soldiers were glad to fight to participate in liberating the enslaved people in the South. That is where I am coming from this morning. This is an American 4th of July sermon. This is a Christian American 4th of July sermon. You know what this country needs? This country needs more Christian historians. What this country needs is more pastors who study history. Why? Because it would help us properly focus on exactly what our problems are so we could focus our energies. Let's take our most recent problem, a worldwide pandemic. I covered this in the July newsletter this year. But that's just one area. Remember, because of the pandemic restrictions, a church sued the state of California for those same restrictions during the worst of the pandemic. But if I understood the court case in California, the state of California was wrong to restrict public worship. Okay, but if I understand correctly, every other church in the country can now meet together if they want to, and they didn't need to win a court case to do that. So what was that all about? The pandemic has shown us that American Christians are confused. The pandemic has shown us that American Christians are confused about freedom, that American Christians are confused about tolerance, that American Christians are confused about acceptance, that American Christians are confused about law, and American Christians are confused about the practice of faith. A Christian historian would remember and might remind American Christians that the Christian faith in the Roman Empire was a minority. It was smaller than a minority because even the word minority means that the group had some standing, and Christians in the Roman Empire had no standing in the Roman legal system unless they were Roman citizens, like the Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen. Christians were sometimes persecuted in some places in the Roman Empire, even to death, but there were never very many Christians for Roman emperors to care about. That went on for 300 years. Then, 150 years after that, the Roman Empire fell apart. Let me remind you that Roman society was a slave society, although different from what American slavery would become. So what's my point? Well, my point is that Christianity survived Roman persecution. Christianity survived Roman persecution, and some believe that the Christian faith thrived as a persecuted minority in the Roman Empire. Let's consider a modern example from our lifetimes. Christianity survived and outlived the Soviet Union in the Soviet Union. Remember when we called them godless communists? Doesn't matter now. The Soviet Union is no more. The Christian faith survived the Soviet in the former Soviet states. Let's look back on the founding of America, the 1600s in the Americas. Spain, Portugal, France, England, and the Dutch were sending their people to the Americas, and they were sending people to the Americas to stay. One story is told that the English sent women to Virginia, and the story is told that Native Americans did not become violent until English sent women to Virginia, because then the natives knew that the English intended to become neighbors and not just visitors or explorers. Then things got ugly. All of those nations that I mentioned claimed the Christian faith. But it's the Spanish coming to America who get the reputation as the real bad guys of Christian Europe. And I admit, they are the worst I have read about. And here's the problem for us Christians. The Spanish came to the Americas as Christian explorers, and they came to the Americas as intolerant Christian conquerors. Do I need to say that again? The Spanish came to the Americas as Christian explorers, and they came to the Americas as intolerant Christian conquerors. I hesitate to share with you the horror of some of the Spanish evangelistic methods. The Spanish did not intend to persuade the Native Americans. They would force them to claim Jesus. Everywhere the Spanish went, there was suppression of Native cultures that was brutal and most nearly complete. The Spanish, as good Christian soldiers, destroyed anything they thought was an idol. They destroyed temples and worked tirelessly, John Hutchins writes, to erase even the memory of ancient beliefs. One Spanish explorer's methods were so horrible, including enslavement and rape, that one Native American village entirely suicided to keep from being his victims. There was an attempt by the Spanish crown at reforming the conquistadors and their methods, but the reforms didn't take very well, and war broke out in Peru over them. That was Spanish history. That was Spanish Christian history. And you say to yourself, well, we're not like that. Well, how is anyone going to know that? Remember, this was also the period of the Spanish Inquisition, and the faithful Spanish did burn at the stake some of their own people as heretics and witches. The Inquisition lasted into the 1700s, and that brings us to the lives of men like Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and Benjamin Franklin. Should we be surprised that our Bill of Rights makes clear that the state should not establish a religion, any religion, based on American history? Should we be surprised that our Bill of Rights makes clear that the state should not establish a religion? Our Bill of Rights makes clear. This is what it says. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. We would go on with the Bill of Rights. That is what it says. But it didn't stop us Christians from making laws, Christian laws. It didn't stop well-meaning Christians from attempting to impose their interpretation of Christianity on everyone else. We allowed and supported blue laws, a law forbidding certain secular activities on Sunday. That's a Christian idea. It became law to prevent all citizens from violating our Sabbath. It wasn't enough for Christians to keep the Sabbath, or true Christians to keep the Sabbath. We were willing to make everyone attempt to keep the Sabbath. How are we doing on that one? Well, in 2018, in our state, we turned out in large numbers to celebrate our newly lawful right to buy carry-out alcohol on Sundays. 2018. I would like to summarize my own interpretation of the First Amendment this way, and some of the Bill of Rights. I will, as a Christian citizen of the United States, fight for your right to say things I don't believe in. And in truth, I want you to do the same. Fight for my right to say things that you don't believe in. You may say them, you might even believe them, but don't make any laws concerning those beliefs, generally speaking. We're not questioning life and the right to property. Here's another sample from American history. In the U.S. in the 1930s, there was more than one organization that were sympathetic to Germany's Adolf Hitler. One was called the German America Bund, and they had their largest rally February 20, 1939, in Madison Square Garden in New York City. 20,000 people were in attendance. Their leader spoke against Jewish people, against Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and claimed that our first president, George Washington, knew that democracy would not work. Yes, there were protesters to that Nazi rally. I saw a photo of that rally in New York City of New York's mounted police force forming a solid line outside Madison Square Garden that night to hold in check a crowd which packed the streets around where the Nazi lovers were holding their rally. They were there to prevent any clash between the people inside and the demonstrators outside. The police surrounded the area with a force of 1,500. National Socialist thinking, to me, is horrible. I believe it to be anti-Christian and anti-American. I believe that Nazi thinking is anti-Christian, but clearly there are people who believe that Nazi thinking is Christian thinking. You and I bear that burden. But you still have the right to believe it. You still have the right to speak it. That is what the Bill of Rights says. So my question is, why do so many American Christians have trouble giving those same rights to other American citizens? Are we afraid that it looks like we also believe what the other side says? I always make it clear what I believe and what you have a right to believe. And what you have the right to believe should not remove your rights as a citizen. There are some special exceptions, of course. There have to be. You may not yell fire in a crowded theater. Yes, you are free to make a hate speech, but to make a hate speech in order to be seen and heard by the people you hate, that moves from freedom of speech towards provocation. Then you become guilty of disturbing the peace, also known as a breach of the peace, disorderly conduct, and you'd better hope that you get arrested before someone takes a swing at you, or worse. I can say God bless America and believe it. You can say God bless America even if you don't believe in God, or even if you don't believe in the God I believe in. But then I would have no idea what you're talking about, but you have the freedom to say it. I can confess that my respect for this American freedom does often irritate me. I see pastors quoted in the media. One pastor stated this year, in talking about race relations, stated that God created the races. And I thought, wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say we all came from Adam and Eve? Or Noah and his family? Are we not all at least 22nd cousin? You know, once or twice removed. But that pastor has the freedom to share his ignorance. And that pastor's congregation has the freedom to believe and follow such ignorance. But remember, Jesus told the Sadducees, Matthew 22:29, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." When I read the Bible, I read that human beings were divided up according to language, not race. Isn't that what the Tower of Babel is about in Genesis chapter 11? I saw a youth pastor quoted recently as saying that religious people, and I believe he thought he was talking about Christians, religious people would not want people of the LGBT community to have free speech. But I thought that if they were American citizens, no matter what sex or sexual attraction they claim, they were guaranteed free speech under the Bill of Rights. I can only assume that this youth pastor would have trouble fighting for someone's right to believe differently than his religious community believes. That also bothered me. I wonder if I qualify under this youth pastor's definition of a religious person. Or would I qualify as a Christian at all? So insistent am I that people I disagree with have a right to speak freely. So what has all this to do with today's Bible verse of the week? Well, the Spanish conquistadors and others read their Bibles to read Jesus' instructions to the disciples as forcing people to be Jesus' followers. That's the interpretation they came up with, was to make Christians by any methods necessary. And in addition, through the Inquisition, punish those who were not proper Jesus followers. Today's Bible lesson is that I would have you see that the emphasis in Jesus' words is on teaching. It's even in the Latin version of the Bible, the version of the Bible the Spanish used. So I'm not sure how the Spanish got the idea of forced conversions. We are to make disciples through teaching. I understand Jesus to mean that we are to persuade people to be Jesus followers, not force them to be Jesus followers. I understand Jesus to want our hearts, not just our lips, to confess Him. Jesus wants our lips to express what is in our hearts. Our Lord said, "Follow me." With just our lips? No. Follow Jesus with your whole being. We are to take the way of Jesus to be a people of the way, the Jesus way. Disciples are learners, and I'm certainly still learning. And I'm still learning in part. I am learning in freedom. And I give thanks to our God for the freedom my country affords me to be free. I give thanks to our God for the freedom my country affords me to speak freely, to gather freely, to follow Jesus freely. God bless America. God bless all Americans. Amen.